Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Perspectives, the Cedar Creek Midweek Podcast, where we're going to be discussing the past weekend's teachings from here at Cedar Creek Community Church. With me in the Cedar Creek studios are Justin Wickman and Pastor Rob Gerber, who both spoke this past weekend. Thank you for joining me, gentlemen.
Glad to be here.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this week started off a new series. Why don't you guys tell me about that?
You want to go first? Well, I suppose I talked on Friday. So so when we were talking about this series, the section of text we were going to look at was Luke 22:7-20 and verses 39-40. So that's the Lord's Supper and Garden of Gethsemane. And I took the liberty of removing two of those verses and just focusing on the Lord's Supper for that teaching. And the idea of the message was, I looked at the Lord's Supper and look how it was much like communion, and in fact it's used as an illustration of what communion is to look like. And I talked about how when the disciples and Jesus took the Last Supper, and when the Jews took the Last Supper, it was past focused, present focused, and future focused. It was past focused because they were looking back at the Passover, and so I walked through what the Passover was and how it was when the plague went through Egypt, the 10th plague, and it was killing all the firstborns, that the Israelites were commanded to sacrifice a lamb and take its blood and put it on the doorpost, and it was through that that they would be passed over for judgment and saved. And so I talked about that and how that foreshadowed Christ. Then I talked about how the Lord's Supper was present-focused, so it was also about people being together and remembering this together. And so Jesus and his disciples, they reclined at the table, and that implied a celebration. It implied comfort with each other. It implied a lot of things about their relationship and just having a good time together, and how they were looking back, yes, at the past, but they're also celebrating it in unity and in community focused on an event. And then how it was also future-focused. Jesus talks about how he wasn't going to eat this supper again until the kingdom of God, and other things. And so then I correlated that to communion, where it's past focus. We're looking at Christ's death, sacrifice, his resurrection and ascension, how it's present focus. It's about us in unity and community celebrating Jesus together. And then it's also future focused, about how we're looking forward to Christ's return. And so it's all of those things in the Last Supper, and it's all of those things in communion. So that's basically what I went through on Friday night.
Yeah, so you took it in and looked at that big picture, or that maybe not big picture, maybe that specific instance of the Last Supper, the Passover meal, and the institution of communion. I took the passage a little bit differently. took the liberty of expanding it a little bit. I actually think you contracted it more than two verses. Our thing went through verse 46, not through verse 40.
No, not what I have in my email.
So, but anyhow, I took the whole thing from verse 7 all the way through verse 46. And my thinking there was, well, we're going to talk about Luke's account of the Passion, so I just kind of had it in my head that we're going to going to tell the story of how it's laid out here in the scripture. So I just took that passage chunk by chunk. I read it, and then I made some comments about each passage. And just talked about all the different things that are in there, like Jesus combining the miraculous with the everyday when he sent the guys in to prepare the Passover. And I shared the gospel. I spent a fair amount of my time just talking about really what the Last Supper was. Is it was a picture. Jesus was at the end of his life. He was going to accomplish what he came to do. This is really first and foremost what he came to do. That's to be the sacrifice for our sins, and now that was imminent. We're right at the doorstep, and he was telling his disciples that, and he was saying, remember this in the future. And then I just kind of walked through the passage. I liked the part, actually, that had initially been taken out, verses 21-38, because it's such a picture of me, I think, where Jesus loves these guys, and they're such knuckleheads. the things that they're doing, and they're arguing and denying and all this stuff, and Jesus is almost like a big brother with a bunch of little boys. And he's kind of, yeah, okay, guys, just, you're not all very smart, but I love you anyhow, and I'm going to use you anyhow, and I'm going to. And so I like that because it reminds me a lot of me. And then just ended with the story story in the garden. So yeah, I because of the way I think we kind of looked at the passage, our messages ended up being very different. Yours was specifically about communion. Mine was more, let's just tell this story as it lays out in the scripture.
Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you for those summaries. Thank you for your teachings. Listeners, as always, you can find those teachings recorded on the website at seacreek.org/sermons or wherever you found this podcast recording. Just look a little ways back. So I encourage you to listen to those if you haven't gotten a chance to. So building off of kind of that last thing that you were saying, Rob, where you guys kind of approached this pretty differently, where Justin was more focused on a specific topic within that story, and Rob, you just kind of went through piece by piece. Is there anything about those different approaches that, like, what draws you to those things, or was there a reason that you went in those directions or anything like that?
Well, we had a great big discussion about this on
Thursday before the message.
Thursday before the message, yeah. So... I don't know. For me, I guess the reason I did it this way is it just, to me, seemed like a good chance to do something that we don't do a whole lot, and that's just talk through a passage of Scripture. And you know, we were telling a story, I guess, so it that's just what, from the first time I started looking at this, that's just kind of how it appeared to me, I guess, and so I never really considered doing it the way you did it. Not that it's bad or wrong or anything, yeah. It was just a different way. So I don't know what I forget. You and I had talked. What was it that made you go the way you did?
Well, I looked at the passages. So there were 13 verses around the Lord's Supper, and then there were two around the garden that I had written down that we were supposed to be focusing on. And I thought, so I got 15 verses. 13 of them are on the Lord's Supper, 2 are the garden. It almost seems like this whole garden part is just this kind of tail end peripheral thing. So I just removed it and focused on those 13 verses and thought there's a whole message here in this. So I just went with that. And I don't know, maybe I didn't feel the liberty to expand so that I could have enough general content. I don't know. but I don't know. I looked at it and thought there's a message here about how communion and the Lord's Supper are both past, present, and future focused. And I had already outlined that out when we started talking about it. And I don't know, that was just the way it ended up going.
Yeah. And and that's great. And, you know, I don't know that either is right or wrong. I don't know if that's an issue of right or wrong. It's just an issue of different styles of, I guess, teaching. And it's caused, there's been a lot of discussion about this over this past week. You and I had a big discussion. Mm-hmm. I've talked with other guys who are doing these messages, the whole idea of topical versus exegetical preaching or teaching. And, you know, it's one of those things that some people have real strong opinions out in the Christian world that you need to do one or the other, or one's better than the other. And that's come up here this week as we kind of go through this passage.
Yeah, it absolutely has. I think when I looked at the series, I guess I looked at it a little more topically because at least the first week, the text seemed fairly narrow. But going on, the text widened out except for the very last message, which is two verses, the last two verses of Luke. But, yeah.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is, because on the Ascension. The Ascension doesn't start till the very end of chapter 24.
Yeah, I know, but there's all kinds of stuff before that.
Yeah, but that's all about the resurrection.
No, it's all about the road to Emmaus and all that stuff.
Boy, that's the resurrection.
Heated debate here in the Cedar Creek Studios.
Okay. Clearly, you and I got different emails about what we're teaching about.
I think so.
Boy, listeners, you're getting a real look behind the curtain.
We don't know what we're doing. Yeah.
No, but it's interesting, and it maybe is worthwhile to talk just a little bit, and I don't know if this is interesting to most people or not, but the whole idea of topical versus exegetical teaching, you know, I think, I tend to be much more of a topical type teacher, and I suspect maybe you are as well, or not so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some guys not so much that, you know, they want to be or they think more exegetically. And maybe just to define those terms a little bit, topical is, or the way you'd go about it is you'd take a topic like communion, for example, mm-hmm. and you'd say, okay, here's a passage that talks about it, but I'm going to draw from other passages as well. So you go back to Exodus and you bring in the different things, because communion shows up in lots of different places in the Bible. And so you take your topic and then you draw from all over in the Bible to talk about that topic. Exegetical is more, okay, here's a passage from here to here in the book of Luke, from, you know, Luke 22:7 through 46. I'm not going to stray from this text. I'm going to read through this, and you can do it line by line. And some guys, you know, will go through a book of the Bible and, you know, teach through a book of the Bible, and it'll take them months because they'll just go, you know, maybe two or three lines at a time. And so it's much more, what do these words say? What's the context of this passage? So you're really focusing in on one passage and digging through word by word, line by line, what it is. And, you know, some people like one, some people like another. We very much tend to be topical teachers here, I think.
Do you think there's a particular reason for that? Why, or is it just like that happens to be more all your particular styles? And...
Well, I have an idea that maybe is true, maybe isn't. I think that I'll share my bias, I guess. I think that most of us learn topically and we study exegetically. Let me explain that. When we're listening to someone, we tend to listen topically. In other words, we don't go to school and walk through the textbook line by line. We're going to study this topic today, and then we kind of talk about that topic. Most of, and I think perhaps it's fair to say, all of the teachings we see in the Bible are topical. The book of Hebrews is a topical study that takes from all over, just passages here and there and there from all over in the Old Testament. Book of Romans is a very topical study where Paul is just taking verses from all over the place. Jesus spoke topically. He would say, hey, here's this topic, and then he would bring in a reference from the Old Testament to support that. So I think most of us listen topically. Now, we study exegetically. We sit down with the Bible, and I'm going to read the book of Jeremiah, perhaps, and we walk through it, but that's more of an individual thing. Now, that's my bias. So when I think about teaching, I think, well, if I want this to be the most effective, if it's true that people listen topically, that's how I'm going to make the most impact here. I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, I typically agree. for the most part, it makes more sense to me to speak topically, because that's just how my brain works. Exegetically, yeah, that's absolutely how I study. But if I walk through a passage and I'm preaching a passage, it's hard for me personally to not pull text in from other areas, sure, because it so greatly informs. Sure. So when I looked at verses 7 through 20 in Luke 22, I thought, this is the Lord's Supper, this is communion. He's establishing communion. Well, let's look back at what the Last Supper was. Let's look back at Passover. Let's let the Lord's Supper, that Last Supper, be really well informed so that we can talk about communion, because that's really what these 13 verses are about. Sure. And so it was somewhat exegetical because I stuck to Luke 7, 22, 7 through 20, but I also was pulling from all sorts of other places to inform the text.
Right, right. Yeah, and right, there's all kinds of gradations or gradations. I don't
variations,
know what the right word is.
Gray area.
It's a spectrum. You can go from pure topical to pure exegetical and all kinds of stuff in between. So you're right. Most of us, even if we're speaking exegetically, quote unquote, you know, you're going to pull from other places. And so, yeah, there's definitely a spectrum. But it is true that there are, it's a different style of teaching if you're really trying. And I think this week really, really brought that out, where you really looked at this as a topical teaching, and I really looked at it as a more exegetical teaching. And so our messages ended up being very different along those lines. And I don't think one's right and one's wrong. I really, truly don't. I think they're both very valid. They're both very, very instructional. And some people like one more than another, and that's fine. But I don't know that it's as big a deal sometimes as we want to make it, but it was interesting this week, and the discussion goes on as we have three more weeks of this series.
Yeah.
So should we expect more of that same diverging kind of maybe variation in the teaching styles for this series?
I think we'll see what Matt does on Friday. And I teach the following week. And Jerry, I think, thinks more exegetically, so he'll probably go that route the last week.
I'm teaching three of the four Sundays in this message, and so my plan is to kind of do what I did here. But I don't know what Mark is going to do. Yeah. I don't know that Matt's an exegetical thinker at all.
I don't want to speak for him, but I would guess
I would guess that's not going to happen. And Mark, so, and I think Jerry is probably maybe would tend a little bit more down that exegetical line than I would here. So I think we're going to get quite a variation in this series.
Yeah. And the I teach on the resurrection in 2 weeks, and I cover a lot more ground. There's a lot more text to cover. So I don't know. We'll see if it's more topical or exegetical.
Yeah, but you'll just take the verses out that you don't
know. Or you'll just add ones
in. I'll just add ones in.
We'll just, every week on the podcast, we'll just have a scorecard of how far, where on that scale of exegesis to topical you fall in. That'll be good. We'll come up with a number system. So one of the other things that we were talking about before we started here was specifically on the topic of communion and talking about just how much different that can look from church to church. And like even within our two sets of services, we do it pretty differently. I realized as I was getting ready for this, I've never been to a Friday service where we were doing communion. So what I'm used to on Sunday mornings is that we have like the bread and the little cups of juice up on the tables in the front of the room. While we're doing communion, everybody gets up out of their seats, comes up to the table, takes the things, takes them back to their seat, and we just spend some time reflecting and taking it together. But I realize that that's probably not what you guys do on Friday.
Yeah, Friday night has been a little different. We still have the silver tray with, you know, all the little cups for sanitary reasons, and it's grape juice, not wine. And we don't do wine anywhere here, but we don't typically. Kim will cut up bread for us, and we'll have all those little cubed pieces on a Sunday morning. On Friday night, I don't think we've ever done it differently. We actually have a loaf of bread that either we break right there, or we broke it into two or three chunks before the service. But so this last Friday, actually, we had a big loaf of bread, and we had all the little cups of grape juice, and we broke the bread. It was sort of part of the message, and then people came up and they grabbed a piece, and then we took it together. So I, you know, prayed over the bread and the cup, and we took it all simultaneously. And then we got broke into groups of 4 to 6 and talked about communion, the Lord's Supper, and what it means to us specifically, and how each one of us often think of communion, past focus, present focus, future focus, probably one way.
Sure.
And I think most of us think past focus. We think back to Christ's sacrifice, his death, his resurrection. And so we just kind of talked about what stirs us about those three areas, looking forward, looking about celebrating together, and looking to the past. So it was a much more celebratory, much more community event instead of, not wrongly, but on Sunday mornings we'll take it and it's more private. And so we did it a little differently.
Yeah. Yeah. So is there, I guess, you know, you could probably go to any number of churches and come up with that number of different ways that they do communion together in their church. Is there a particular reason we landed on the ways that we do it on Sunday and on the way that we do it on Friday? Is there anything was there a lot of thought that went into those decisions or anything?
I don't know that there was a lot of, you know, concentrated, let's figure out the right way to do this or anything like that. It's certainly changed over the years. I know early on we would pass the bread and the cup around. Part of it is just as we get more people on a Sunday morning, you know, just there's logistics that we're trying to sort out too. So on a Sunday morning, it's going to look a little different than, say, if you took communion in your life group. That's going to be a very different thing, and that's a great thing to do. If, you know, a smaller group of people do it, it can have a very different feel, where on a Sunday morning it's a little bit more corporate, we're a little bit more limited. But no, there wasn't this is the right way to do it. And it's changed over the years. You know, it hasn't been that long that we've done the, let's have the stuff up front and everybody come and get it. It's only been a few years, I think, that we've been doing it that way.
Okay. Yeah. So on Fridays, you guys, like you said, you do it a little bit differently than they do it on the Sunday. Was that driven by any particular desire to set it apart or something, or to...
I think a couple of us were influenced. We took communion on a mission trip where that we actually went and picked up a loaf of bread. I believe this is when we were in Spain. And we actually had this big old rock hard loaf of bread, you know, in the, you know, the shell you could crack your skull open with. But yeah, we busted that open and we took communion that way as a group, and that impacted me. And I that has happened for a couple of the other guys, and we thought, well, let's try this on a Friday night. And it works because we have 30 to 40 adults instead of 90 to 120. And if you have 120 people trying to rip a piece of bread off of a loaf, it's going to take a lot of time.
And a lot of bread.
Because the chunk of bread that you get on a Friday night is fairly substantial compared to what you get on a Sunday morning. So logistically it works for us, and it just seems like a more intimate feel, but Friday night in general feels that way because it's a smaller crew and we keep the lights dark and the music loud and
And it's interesting that, I think, if you look in the New Testament, it seems as though breaking bread was more of a meal type thing, or it, it was different perhaps than we do it now, where now it's almost a sacrament, you know, it's a thing we do, which is not bad, but I think back then it was more, hey, we're all getting together for a meal, and so we have bread and the cup here, let's take a moment and remember what Christ did. So I think in the days of Acts, it may have been a more, what, a less formal and more everyday kind of occurrence. I don't know that for sure, but I wonder if that isn't the case.
I mean, that definitely seems to be what I would take from, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about was that in Corinthians, Paul has some pretty strong words about how the church there was doing it, and it was kind of that idea that everybody was getting together for a meal, and some people were kind of eating all the food, and some people weren't getting any, and it was just, they were kind of mixing, you know, the commonplace, everybody get together and eat together with the, you know, with the sacrament part of it in an inappropriate way. That's kind of how I take that passage, but I don't know that I don't know that that's accurate.
No, I think that that's, I think that that's true. And so, but I think the big thing in, is more, even in Corinthians, Paul seems to talk a lot about how you are perceiving it and what your mindset is going into it. And so, you know, I think that's a big deal as opposed to all of the technicalities and the logistics of it. I think, you know, do this, Jesus said, in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. And so and Paul talks about that in Corinthians as well. Here's what Jesus said. And so I think that's a big thing. My guess is that there's many very valid ways to do it, but the biggest key is, well, is this going to have an impact on me personally? And it will or won't, based on how I'm perceiving it. Am I remembering this, I think?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense to me. That's typically how I look at that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember as a growing up in the Lutheran church, it was very different again. It was once a month we'd go up and kneel at the altar and get the little wafer, and we had wine. And so when I was 12 years old, I got that little cup of wine. You know, but
I'm impressed. I went to a service where they had actual wine, and my mom shooed me away from that so quickly.
It was really bad wine, because it would sit back there, you know, for months and months and months. It made you not want to drink anymore. So.
Interesting. I wonder if there was some intention in that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we've probably got about 1 minute left. Do you guys want to talk about transubstantiation at all?
You know, I was I couldn't even remember the word. I was going to get the word wrong, so I didn't say it. So
I got it written down right here. So
I'd rather not.
All right, then we'll just move on. It's probably not real.
For viewers who don't know what that is, feel free to Google that.
That's right, yes.
If you have any questions, go ahead and, I don't know, find somebody and ask it, I guess.
Email Rob at rob@seacreek.org.
I will butcher even the pronunciation of the word.
All right. So next week, what are we talking about as we continue this series on the Passion?
It will be the crucifixion. Matt and Mark, right?
Yep, Matt and Mark.
Matt and Mark will be here next week.
Yep. All right. Well, that sounds good. We will look forward to that. Hopefully we'll see you here at Cedar Creek to hear those teachings live on Friday night at 6:30 p.m. or Sunday morning at 9 and 10:45. And of course, if you can't make it, those recordings will be posted as soon as they're available. But until then, thank you, Justin and Rob, for being here. I appreciate it. And everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
See you in a week.
Yep, toodles.
Music for this podcast provided by DNK via freemusicarchive.org.